Hi, I'm Jim Wright, and I'm with Java.net. And tonight we're going to have a podcast about the robotics community on Java.net. We have with us Bruce Boyes, and we have Roger Brinkley and Jim Wright.
Roger.
That was and just Brian a soda. Anybody who knows me knows that was just
and,
a soda.
And to give you the immediate context, we have Roger eating his sandwich and drinking a soda. We have Bruce with two beers, not one, but two beers by his side.
And you'll notice my beers are quiet.
And we have Brian with a very discreet glass of wine. So, with that, let's get started. And I'm going to throw it to Bruce, who started this all, to open
this
it up.
This is kind of like Larry King Live.
Absolutely.
You know.
You're supposed to ask me leading questions, and then I give you unexpected answers. I don't know how to start, but you just pass the ball to me.
So
what's the play?
Let's get right on topic. What's the future of Java.net, Bruce?
That's a good question. In the keynote this morning, Larry Ellison seemed to say all the right things. He loves Java. Oracle's middleware has always been based on Java. It will be based on Java. And full steam ahead, basically. So, who knows? But I think his sentiments were well received. And what's the future of Java.net? We don't know. Will there be another Java 1? Some executives are talking, including Scott McNeely, are all talking like this will be the last Java 1 ever. It will likely be rolled into the Oracle conference, which I think is called Open World, isn't it?
Oracle World.
Oracle World. And so who knows? But in that vein, we've started a new project at Java.net called Life After Oracle. And anybody is welcome to join. The purpose of this project, there's more details at the project site, which is lifeafteroracle.dev.java.net. And the purpose of the project is to be proactive and communicate with Oracle, with their Oracle technical network, the OTN people, and management, and whomever, and express our feelings about what the value of Java.net is and where we'd like to see it go under Oracle's management.
And I think the issue here is that it's not just community leaders, as many of us are, but it's really the developers themselves and the users of the somewhat 6,000 projects and 2,000 really active projects in the 22 communities that are there to be able to voice an opinion.
Exactly. And Sun employees are expressly forbidden, apparently. I'm not a Sun employee, from communicating with Oracle directly prior to the merger consummation. So those of us who are not Oracle employees and are involved in Java.net have no such restrictions, and people who are Sun employees can still participate in this project. There's a mailing list. They can express concerns, thoughts, ideas, and then those of us who are not Oracle employees can officially sign the communications and send them off to the appropriate people. So it's a way for even Sun people who can't formally say anything to sort of throw their hat in the ring about what their concerns and ideas are. So we don't know what Oracle knows about Java.net. Maybe they know a lot, maybe they know very little, but it just seemed like a more prudent approach than sitting back and waiting to see what happens. Let's help architect things.
What would you like to see come out of this whole meeting in terms of the activity on Life After Oracle?
Well, we're planning a series of letters which we will send to Oracle technical people, OTN people, and Oracle management, just trying to educate them about what Java.net is and the value of it and where we'd like to see it go.
Okay.
And I don't know what all those answers are. I mean, it's not my project. It's a collaborative community project, and we really do need everybody's input. I think, you know, robotics is probably one of the odd men out, because what does Oracle do with robotics? Nothing. So, what's the value to them of the robotics community? Well, there's the educational aspect, and there's the sensor and wireless networking aspect. You know, robots are really just mobile wireless sensors.
Well, the case is, though, that when you're talking about the robotics community and its value to Oracle today is very limited. Its value to Oracle in the future is a different story, because Oracle's trying to expand, you know, my view of what they're doing there is they're trying to expand themselves into something much more than just a traditional database corporation. And in doing that and acquiring Java, that's a move and a progressive move for them. So we'll have to see what happens with
that. That's a great point. And that reminds me, another a little bit surprising thing Larry Ellison said this morning was he didn't want to sit by and watch Amazon and other people do the netbooks and the Kindles. He wanted Oracle hardware to be part of that market. And he thought that Oracle with the Sun hardware people and the Sun, presumably the Sun Labs people with the expertise there, that they could come up with some very competitive hardware offerings to compete in those markets.
Well, it struck me that, in fact, Java.net is one of those milieus or venues where, in fact, you can do a lot of experimental work on things that, in fact, have very strong use factors, user factors. And this is very traditional in Japan, for example, where they trial products a lot before they actually put them out. And a community like this is, in fact, an ideal community to get both new ideas, try things out, and expose things that you may be developing to get early feedback and a response from.
And I think the key thing about Java.net is if we go back to the very early days when we started it, and I don't remember if you were there in the early days, Jim, or not, but I know I was. And the whole idea behind it was to be a, not necessarily an open source development environment, but a collaborative development environment.
That's right.
And as such, that's something that should be of interest, one would think, to the people at Oracle. So it's, you know, you don't want to, you want to have environments where developers are flocking to where you're coming. Yeah, Java.net is really it's a strong brand. And so, you know, I think it would, you know, I look at stats on that on a regular basis, and there's around, I think, 2 million downloads a month, or 2 million page accesses a month off of Java.net. So that's not something trivial. It's something that's quite extensive.
Well, I agree. There's been experiments all along in doing actually more developer network type activities. So a good example, Sun RFID and Sensor Network. Mm-hmm. The product team actually started releasing additions to the product. This is things like tying it into B2B software through a site on Java.net, the Sun RFID and Sensor community. And they got very comparable play in the press to a full press release, and they got a lot of downloads within the first couple of days. And so I think that there's a lot of dimensions we really haven't investigated, and things that are of interest to the user base.
And I think what's really important here is also to talk about some of the things that are, you know, how things have grown because of the collaborative development, and in some cases because of the open source work.
Right.
You know, there's a great deal of things that have happened that would not have happened in necessarily a non-collaborative environment. And having that type of collaborative environment makes things, you know, work together. I mean,
well, us sitting here talking, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the collaboration of Java.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, a lot of us wouldn't have met each other.
We work in very, very different environments, and yet, you know, I support some of the stuff that Bruce does and the shows that I go to.
Right.
And Bruce doesn't have the opportunity to go to, and showing some of his products in my talks that I do around the world. And, you know, I mean, the Indians were, when I was in India in February of this year, you know, they were really excited about some of the stuff that was going on with the bots and the spots. And you know, some of the commercial ideas and the things that we've done with ME type of environment. And it's where we cross over. And we do the same thing with the tools community and what happens there. So, you know, a lot of the community leaders, there's everybody, you know, everybody knows each other, and it's kind of like, we need to share some of the stuff that we're doing. I mean, Brian's work in Swarm of Brian's is sitting out in our booth here at Java One in the mobile and embedded community booth. That we have a separate booth that's over in the Sun area, so that's a good example. And you know, it's great because we run his program, and And I can't wait till I get to Brazil and I talk with them about it, because I can really show the true definition of what a corner case is. When the bots get stuck down in the corner and they can't move, you know, the lead bot can't move and the other ones are there. That's the true corner case, you know. It's the software isn't completely working and it's in a corner and it's just, all the bots are stuck in the corner and they can't get themselves out of it. And it's the same thing with, you know, it's the corner case in coding, but it's actually a corner case in reality.
Yeah. So, what do you think, Brian? I mean, you're a graduating student. What do you think the value of Java.net is, and where do you see Sun and Oracle going as a student and somebody about to enter the job market?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, to me, it's been really valuable as a student to have that community. I mean, joining working with you on this and the robotics community on the TrackBot stuff, it's been a really, really good learning experience. As far as, I mean, you know, I didn't even know Java before last summer, and being able to join the Java.net community and work on, you know, something real in software and robotics, I really don't know where a lot of people aren't getting, or I really don't know where Sun and Oracle are going to go with Java.net.
Where would you like it to go? What do you see as the value of the community to you as a student? And where would you like to see that expanded, perhaps? I mean, Oracle doesn't have a huge educational presence. And Sun actually does have.
Yeah.
Sun came out of a university environment, and they have a pretty substantial university presence. Where would you, in the future, where would you like to see things head?
I really would like Java.net to reach out more to universities, I guess, and get more students involved in projects, in software development projects on Java.net. It's a really, really good collaboration platform.
How could we do that? The funny thing is, and I've taught a little bit at the university level, you kick students out for collaborating. I mean, it's called cheating, right? I mean, especially when I went to school, things have changed a little bit, but you're not supposed to collaborate. You're supposed to do individual work. And so the class that I taught for 3 years at the University of Utah focused on collaboration, and about that time, the accreditation organization for computer science in the United States changed and required collaboration education as part of the computer science curriculum. And it hasn't been until recently taught at all. It's been frowned upon. So
I think, that's a very good point. And I think schools, it would behoove them to embrace collaboration more, because that's what the students are going to be doing when they get out into the work world anyway.
Right.
They need to learn how to collaborate. They need to learn how to, you know, use source code repositories and things like that.
How much have you been taught that in your education?
Not a lot. I mean, we've done group work and things like that at my school. I'm in a computer engineering program and an undergraduate computer engineering program. But, you know, it's mostly been individual work, as you said. And that brings up another point. I mean, it would behoove students to work with real-world IDEs like NetBeans and Eclipse and things like that, too, where at school we really haven't done that. They've just kind of, you know, it's just been the standard, I guess, computer science coursework, operating systems, networks, etc. But it's just been, you know, use whatever you want to use. They haven't really pushed using a certain IDE or certain development environment or things like that. And they haven't pushed using, like, a source code repository or things like anything like that.
We're about to be invaded.
Where Java.net...
by alien forces.
Yeah. Whereas Java.net provides a really good platform because it's online, it's not anything local. Java.net is a really good free platform to put your project up and to collaborate with others on it. And... So it would be really good experience for students, I think, to take advantage of Java.net's resources to
There's a lot of controversy right now in the educational community about how to teach people how to program versus teaching them a tool set, which really has no lasting value because it'll be obsolete in 5 years or 10 years. So,
or 1 year.
But I think Java.net has the opportunity to teach students how to collaborate, which is really the issue.
Mm-hmm.
How do you work together? I wasn't taught that in college. I mean, like I said, it was you get kicked out for collaborating.
Yeah.
You
know?
It just wasn't allowed. So,
well, I mean, maybe it doesn't even need to be a requirement for a class to collaborate or be involved with something like Java.net, but maybe it could be some, I don't know, enrichment or requirement or senior, like I used Java.net as the, hosting site for my senior project, Swarm O'Brien.
What did other students do for their senior projects?
Oh, a whole bunch of things. A lot of them did some kind of web 2.0 application.
How did yours fall in terms of interest and inclusiveness and so forth? Where did yours fall between in among all of the projects, do you think?
I think mine was one of the only robotics applications out of all the computer engineering students. Most of them, like I said, did some kind of web development where they weren't using repositories, they weren't using like a hosting site, they were just hosting it on the local school servers.
So they didn't have to share their work with anybody.
Exactly. So
it's sort of a whole different ballgame when you have to communicate
it
and
really
work
is.
Together with other people.
It's, yeah, it really is. And since I was working with you, and not only that, we wanted to, archive everything and make it accessible. Since our robotic stuff is open source, we want to make it available to anyone who's interested.
Well, I think some of the shock here is also the, working with some of the guys in our community that are students. And we like the Bluetooth framework. It's called MARGE. That project was done by two university students. And the big shock for them was that when we were down in Brazil, I was doing an interview with a guy about this system that was a pacemaker system that was communicating via Bluetooth using the MARGE framework to a phone for heart patients. And his mouth, he was doing the interpretation for me, and his mouth was just wide open. He's like, I never knew that happened. So it's not just what you're doing and what your use is about your own particular senior project or whatever project you're working on, but it's the uses that can go on. It's when you put that piece of code out there, you never know what's going to happen with it and where it's going to go and what's going to, how somebody's going to be able to use that and expand on what they're going to do it. They'll probably do some stuff with Swarm O'Brien where people are working with some other pieces, and Bruce might benefit from that, eventually down the road. But you'll be surprised at that modeling, type of stuff that other people are going to be able to pick up on and look at.
We hope so. My colleague Scott has a saying that's probably not original with him, which is quick and dirty is forever. So at my company, we try to do really good documentation. I think Brian's done a really good job of documentation, both in the code and supporting documentation on the Swarm O'Brien project site, which has a huge, we all talk about code reuse and Java and object-oriented languages are supposed to have great code reuse, and the reality is, according to what I read, it's actually pretty poor. And part of it is because people don't think about, it doesn't happen magically making your code reusable just because you're using a certain tool set or a certain language or a certain IDE.
That's right, yeah.
Right.
And people don't think about that initially, and everybody's in a hurry because there are marketing deadlines and production deadlines. And that's one of the most valuable things people could learn in a collaborative environment is how do you properly think about sharing your project from day one. It's not something you can do after it's done. People that say, oh, we'll write the code and we'll document it later, it never happens. And you never think about the value of CICERO, who said something like, unless you think about something and write upon it, you haven't really thought about it. I think it was, unless you really write upon something, you haven't really thought about it. So the value of doing all that in the front end is huge. And you can find problems in your architecture and your design. You know, an hour spent in development is worth 10 hours later in debug and patching and maintenance, at least. So, yeah, that's a good point, Roger, that these projects, if you want them to be used down the road, you need to really think about it. And I just wanted to, I think Brian's done a really good job of laying the groundwork so that hopefully that will happen.
Well, I think we can kind of summarize this in the sense that it's going to be a really interesting transition for Java.net to move from what's been a fairly freewheeling environment in terms of the way people were encouraged to participate, the readiness you could start a project and get other people engaged in it, to a more classic developer network environment where there's a lot more product focus. And I think there may be some really interesting synergies, but we need to sort of prioritize what's most important to us and what's most valuable about Java.net. And this may be things like the ability to engage universities and get them involved with companies like Oracle, where there's a lot of benefits and where, in fact, you can create really interesting tracks for the people who come out of the university to get involved in professional development. I think that there's a certain viral nature to the kind of work we're doing, which means that the kind of things you were talking about, Richard, Roger, I need my glass of wine. But the kind of viral nature where, in fact, there's a lot of projects can influence each other, people can influence each other, they can promote each other's ideas, they can find the ties that can be leveraged to create new things. And I think that if we keep these kind of meta goals of cooperation and collaboration together, there may be lots of models we can fit into the Oracle environment. But I think we need to actively pursue that and actively investigate it, because it's going to take a creative act to understand what the best way for us to work together is. With that, I'd like to thank you all. It's been a long day at Java 1, and we will have more to come and more to discover. Thanks so much.